We'll then move to the next item, which is a presentation by Paul Pachter on where we are with regard to IFRS use around the world. Paul is known to most of you, he's a former board member and is still working very hard in helping developing IFRS, and he has done an extensive work looking in the way IFRS are developing throughout the world. He issued a nice pocketbook, but this is the outcome of a quite remarkable work in the field.
Thank you, Michel. As everyone knows, our goal is to develop a single set of accounting standards around the world, IFRS, high-quality standards, which means it provides investors, lenders, and other capital providers with relevant, reliable, comparable information. That vision was set out when the old IASC was established, our predecessor, in 1973 in their constitution, and when it was reorganized into IASB in 2001, that's repeated in our constitution today, and in the trustees' 2012 strategy report, they further repeated that. The trustees acknowledged that pathways to getting to a single set of standards may differ jurisdiction by jurisdiction, but along the way, for a jurisdiction to say we have adopted IFRS, that means the companies in that jurisdiction must be able to, and in fact the trustees' report said, must be required to, unconditionally assert compliance with IFRS. The interesting thing was when that strategy report was published 2 years ago, we realized we really only had anecdotal information about which countries had adopted and exactly how they had adopted. And so the trustees embarked on a project to develop a central source of information about how jurisdictions are using IFRS. And also, at the same time, the trustees wanted to understand and be able to respond to assertions that there are many flavors of IFRS country by country around the world. Well, here we are, and so they engaged me. I just finished my term on the board at the end of 2012, and we began in 2013 to study country by country how IFRS is used. We're at the point now where 138 jurisdiction profiles have been posted on our website. The link is in this slide, or just go to our website, and on the left there's a button that says, Who Uses IFRS? If you've not looked at these profiles, I just printed one at random. I picked the Dominican Republic, but they all look the same. They're about 6 pages long. The 138 cover countries in every region, as you can see here, and they cover 97% of global GDP. That doesn't mean that 97% of global GDP investors are receiving IFRS. What it means is we know how IFRS is used in 138 countries that represent 97% of GDP. So we've got a pretty good picture of the world. The profile identifies who helped us in the survey from the country. In Dominican Republic case, it was the securities regulator and the Institute of Public Accountants both. Have they publicly stated a commitment to global standards and to IFRS as those standards? What is the extent of application of IFRS? Which companies? Is it required or permitted in consolidated statements only or separate company statements as well? Listed companies only or others? What is their process for legally adopting IFRS at the beginning and then going forward for new and amended IFRSs? Did they make any modifications, eliminate any options, etc.? And very important, what's their process for translating? Are they working with our foundation, which is what we want, to ensure that there's a rigorous translation, or is there, and there are a few local translations that we're trying to corral, make sure that they do follow our process, and finally, have they adopted our standard for small companies? To start in developing these profiles, we surveyed jurisdictions. The survey instrument is on our website. We downloaded or otherwise obtained source documents, so countries naturally in the response to the survey tend to put themselves in the best light. We want to make sure that when they say we have adopted, they really did adopt, and so we look at the laws, we look at websites, etc. We drafted the profile. We got information from the country, but the profile is our responsibility. And we invited respondents to the survey to review it. We invite all of the large international accounting firms volunteer or agreed to review the profiles. Each one didn't do all the profiles, but every profile has been reviewed by at least one, generally two or three of the big seven or eight international audit firms. IASCO reviewed the profiles relating to their members. Other regulators helped. So what have we learned? Out of the 138 jurisdictions, 114, 83%, require IFRS for all or most publicly accountable entities. That's listed companies and banks and other financial institutions. That's a very big percent. Next, we learned most of the remaining 24, 17%, already either require or permit IFRS for at least some publicly accountable entities. This slide is not in your paper. I just added it in because it's a nice big picture. You can see by jurisdiction, in Europe, 98% require IFRS for all publicly accountable entities, Africa, 80%, et cetera, but every region of the world, the percentage is very high. And here's a nice pie chart. This is the red is require IFRS. The gray is permit or require, but not for everybody. There's only a small slice, that white slice of the pie, that has national standards. And even there, several of those national standards jurisdictions are already on a contract with us to move to IFRS. Nearly all of the jurisdictions have made public statements supporting IFRS as the global standard. And, of course, some that have not made the public statement are using IFRS. It just happens they never made a public statement. So, for example, right here in Switzerland, they allow several gaps on their stock exchange, but on the main board, 90% of the companies use IFRS. So even in the absence of a public statement supporting IFRS, de facto, IFRS is the Swiss standard for listed companies on the main board. The ones in that group of 24 who have not adopted, many of them are very close. China has national standards that are substantially converged with IFRS. There's 300 Chinese companies listed in Hong Kong. Hong Kong has a separate profile because they have their own accounting standards, but 250 of those 300 are using IFRS for their secondary listing in Hong Kong. And just thinking about just recently, a few days ago, an electronic link was created where investors in the Shanghai Stock Exchange can buy Hong Kong shares. Well, think about what that means. That means the investor in Hong Kong is now receiving IFRS information from this cross-border electronic trading. So IFRS is in China in a big way. India, we heard a report earlier, they're moving to a new set of accounting standards. It probably will be very close to IFRS, but with some modifications. Indonesia has made a commitment to this year, in 2015, bring their national standards very close, possibly not 100%, with IFRS from 2014. Japan, the news just keeps getting better and better. We heard a report this morning, my data in this slide, which is 2 weeks old, is already out of date. We're up to 64 countries, Japanese companies have adopted, and they constitute something like 18% of the market cap on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. And you think about in 2012, 2 years ago, there were only 10 companies on the Tokyo Stock Exchange using IFRS. Now we're up to 64 and growing. Saudi Arabia, they already require listed banks and insurance to use IFRS. They are about to, they already have a plan on their website saying everybody else will be required by 2017. This morning, even right here in Zurich, they've signed an agreement relating to the use of our copyright materials. So it's looking very good in Saudi Arabia. I already mentioned Switzerland. I've got new numbers. Now, the 84% of the main board is now 90%, so it's really very good. And the U.S., I won't get into. You've discussed that already. The other piece of what I would call surprising news from our study, modifications to IFRS are rare. And nearly all that have been made are stated to be temporary. Here's a list of them. The IAS 39 carve-out was on the front page of accounting news and business newspapers every day for a few years. It's much in the news. Europe has 8,000 listed companies, fewer than 20, and all of those are French banks, use the carve-out. So 7,980 European companies are using full IFRS as issued by the IASB. They may not say so. They may say IFRS as adopted by the EU, but it's IFRS as issued on 30 Cannon Street in London. A few countries delayed the effective dates of our consolidation, fair value, joint venture standards. Those deferrals, for the most part, have now ended. Modifications pending completion of some IASB projects. Every one of those projects we've completed to get rid of the deferrals. Rate regulation, what we did was we said, for the moment, companies can grandfather their existing practice. We're still working on the end solution, but those four changes the IASB has made eliminated the need for these deferrals, and countries have already begun to eliminate them, like Canada has ended their deferrals, Malaysia, et cetera. The older versions adopted in my paper I prepared for you, I say four countries have adopted old versions. Sri Lanka, just in the last week, have updated theirs to the latest version, so we're down to three. And all of those are trying to update. It's just not easy in some countries. So what does the auditor's report say? 82 of our 138 in conformity with IFRS as issued by the IASB. 33 in conformity with European adopted IFRS. And as I said, nearly all of those could, if they want, and some do, say in conformity with IFRS as issued by IASB. Of course, they must do that for their U.S. listing, where if a European company is a foreign registrant in the U.S. Endorsement process. The single most common situation, 62 of the 138, no endorsement at all. By endorsement, I mean new and amended standards going forward. Does the jurisdiction have to adopt, expose for comment each amendment? 62 jurisdictions, nope. They adopted past, present, and future IFRS. The other jurisdictions have some sort of endorsement process. The European Union one, you're probably most familiar with, it's cumbersome, maybe. I don't want to. That's a pejorative term, but it involves four or five different organizations. Eventually, so that the process may seem cumbersome, the result has been they've endorsed almost everything. So if they've got a cumbersome process, in the end, it hasn't affected us. There's one or two they haven't, and we'll see on IFRS 9. But basically, even with that complex process, the endorsement has not resulted in with only that one carve-out I mentioned. And the SME standard, let me just throw out a statistic. The World Federation of Exchanges, the Association of Stock Exchanges, together, for every member stock exchange, there's 45,000 listed companies. SMEs, Europe alone has 25 million America has 25 million. Where I live in Hong Kong, 900,000. Britain, 5 million, and on and on. So where IFRS for SMEs has been adopted, take Brazil, they got 6 million SMEs, all of them either permitted or required to use the IFRS for SMEs. The number of adoptions, not the market cap but the number of adoptions is staggering. So we've got 69 jurisdictions have adopted. The names of those are in your agenda paper, by the way. 15 more actively considering it. Plus, we're aware of 10 other jurisdictions. We haven't finished profiles for them, but we know they're already using the SME standard. my little book. You should each have a copy at your place. This is the 2014 edition. I'm happy to report the 2015 edition is already in its fourth printer's proof. We expect to probably push the button on printing in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. Print run of about 10,000 copies. This was 7,000 copies, and you know what's in it, so I don't have to. It's listed here. I won't repeat it. And finally, this is my project also, and it's fun. And I would encourage you, if you have not tried it, try our online IFRS quiz. Based on this little book, I made 220 true-false questions about IFRS, about our structure, about how we set standards, and about the content of the standards. We put it online about the beginning of October. We've had 21,000 quiz takers so far from 114 countries, 115 now. The average score is 7 out of 10 correct. So they show a pretty good understanding of the IASB, the IFRS Foundation, the monitoring board. But, and you will see in your agenda paper, there are some surprising misconceptions in the 30%, in the errors. For example, the monitoring board, only a small minority of our quiz takers even were aware that the IFRS Foundation is responsible to, overseen by an outside board of regulators called the monitoring board. Nobody knew that. Most of our quiz respondents thought the trustees set the IASB's board agenda. And let me tell you my personal favorite misconception. 40% thought the IASB is headquartered in Brussels. So in your paper, there's a list of those misconceptions that relate to the trustees and monitoring board. What does it suggest? I think some more communication, areas where public communication is needed. And with that, I will finish, and I'm already standing between you and your lunch, but I'm happy to answer as many questions, whatever questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. As you can see, Paul is passionate about this. do you have any questions before we complete this public session? Massa.
Thank you very much for the fulsome and interesting report. And I reacted only because you mentioned the monitoring board being less than ideally visible. It has to do with my responsibility, of course, and in fact, in this governance review I referred to earlier, there is a very clear recommendation to for the monitoring board to become more visible, more transparent, more active in showing its presence. On the other hand, as public authorities, we are also trained to be less than vocal on some issues, and particularly not to cause any unnecessary turbulence in the public arena. So I have been certainly suffering from this this problem of balancing transparency with, of course, the sensitivities of the issues that we do discuss at the monitoring board. So just a long way of saying that I do have some excuses, but certainly the monitoring board itself is very much committed to enhancing transparency, and certainly we would like to have better scores the next time you conduct this survey. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you have no questions on Paul's presentation, I would suggest that we stop our public session here, and within 5 minutes, because we have arrangements to make, we will start the next session.